tightened over her skirt and lifted, feeling her ass and grabbing it. She groans into my mouth, encouraging me as she rocks against me. I dip lower, my fingers finding her pussy. When I push her underwear aside, I tease her, slipping a finger inside. We both groan in unison, and I'm fucking elated to find her wet for me. Pumping my finger in and out, she squeezes around me, whimpering into my mouth. Suddenly, she pulls back, and I think she's finally come to her senses, but she reaches inside my pants.
I need you to fuck me, Theo. Please.
My cock springs out when she rips it from my pants, smacking her ass as she straddles my hips. There's no control left in my body, not when she's begging for me, using her nice words. Reaching down, I grip my cock, stroking it as she stiffens against me, waiting. Through the dark, I find her pussy by feel, lining up the tip of my cock. I pause, giving her the silent opportunity to back out. Avery slides down, slowly lowering herself onto me, making me take her inch by inch. Fuck. I hiss, her warmth surrounding me as I stretch her. She gasps, breaking the rhythm as she feels me inside. I run my hand up her waist, resisting the urge to slam into her fully. Realizing this moment is about her and her needs, I squeeze her waist to get her attention. Take control, my director. It's all yours. She moans, resting her hands on my chest as she guides herself up and down my shaft, testing the waters. I slam my head back into the hard tray, my whole body feeling fucking incredible with her. I knew I wanted to take her, but told myself she was too good, too pure for me. But here I am, balls deep inside of her, wondering how someone like me got so lucky. Her movements start to slow, and I sense that she's getting tired, probably too cramped in here to find a proper rhythm. Grabbing her hips with both hands, I hold her tight, slamming myself into her pussy, hard and fast. Avery has no option but to lay on top of me and take it, her moans echoing around the chamber along with the sounds of our bodies meeting. She leans down, kissing me heatedly as I swallow her sounds of pleasure, wishing I could see and touch her properly. Come for me, I demand, grabbing her hair with one of my hands and bunching it into my fist. I pull on it, breaking our kiss. I want you to come on my cock, Avery. I feel her clenching around me before the sound of her cries even reach my ears. I don't slow down my pace or change a damn thing, just waiting for her to explode.
Fuck!
She cries out, letting out a loud scream as she tightens around my cock. Groaning in relief, I finally let go, chasing my own orgasm as I slam into her a few more times, spilling myself inside of her. Fuck, Avery. I grunt, kissing her neck furiously, no longer feeling the cold inside the chamber. I stop moving, not pulling out of her, as she lays on top of me, panting. I stroke her hair, closing my eyes as I figure out how to get her back upstairs without being busted. Pushing the door open with the internal latch, I grab the outside of the mortuary cabinet, shoving hard so that the tray rolls out. Avery blinks, squinting as she adjusts to the light suddenly. I give her leg a little tap. Climb over me. She obeys, my softening cock hitting my stomach when she moves up my body, swinging her leg over to get off the tray. I follow suit, tucking myself back into my pants as Avery fixes up her skirt. I listen closely for sounds outside, pleased to find it dead silent. Avery looks like she wants to say something, but I cut her off, closing the door to the cabinet. Come on, we better get back upstairs before they find us. We step outside the morgue into the corridor, and I look around, trying to figure out which way to go. I know the guards went toward the north side, so the best thing to do is send her back the way we came. Do you remember the way to the stairwell? I ask her, watching her nod. I point in the direction, motioning for her to go.
Aren't you coming too?
She questions, concerned. Shaking my head, I give her a small smile. They need to find someone. Best thing we can do is play to their level and pretend you were never out of bounds. If someone asks, you are hiding upstairs. They won't question you after everything that happened. I'll distract them, but you won't have much time, so I need you to move now. Avery shakes her head wildly.
I'm not leaving you. We did this together. We'll go down together.
I laugh, admiring her cunning, stubborn-ass determination. She's too good for Lilydale. Too good for me. I'm going to the north side. Once I go through the doors up ahead, it's probably going to trigger their system, so it won't take long for the guards to get back here. I'd move quickly if I were you. Without waiting for her reply, I shove the doors open at the end of the corridor, walking towards the other side of the building. My ears strain to listen to the sounds behind me as I resist the urge to look back at her. I hear the tiny faint echo of her feet starting to move towards me before she pauses, running in the opposite direction. At least she has some sense of self-preservation. That's a start, at least. I wait for 2 minutes before smashing my fist into a glass window by a room, then into the access pad. That should be enough to alert the guards I'm here. And so I wait, leaning against the wall, thinking about being inside Avery's body, until I'm surrounded, less than a minute later, by guns and tasers as the guards shout at me to get onto the ground.
Chapter 24. Avery. I quickly reach the top of the stairwell, stepping into the corridor. There's no one here, surprisingly, and my eyes wander over the broken access pad that Theo had smashed. Carefully, I walk down the corridor towards the hall, finding it eerily empty. I assume free time must be over, or that people have been ushered away into lockdown while they searched for us. Ducking into the end room where Theo tattooed me, I sit on the floor, wondering where to go from here. I don't know how to face anyone, even though Theo is right. They are just as fucked up as I am, if not more. But still, it wasn't their secrets that were spilled. They can still pretend to be someone they aren't. Not me. Everyone knows exactly who I am now. Except, I don't know who I am. I just had sex with Theo in a fucking morgue. I promised myself that when I was ready to give myself to someone willingly, it would be romantic. Then I changed that idea when I came here. Gray started taking over me like a virus, and I thought I had it all planned out. But here I am, surprising myself again. I'm only sitting in the room for a few minutes when I hear a set of footsteps heading towards the room. My heart lurches into my throat, waiting as they get closer. My eyes widen when a familiar face comes around the corner, lingering in the doorway. I wasn't expecting him, but I should have known better.
Come with me, Miss White,
Mr. Whittingham says, looking very disappointed. I force myself to my feet, following him as I think of Theo, wondering if he's okay. We pass the hall, and I dare to look inside, stomach nearly hurling when I spot the abandoned papers on the ground still. Mr. Whittingham leads me past, heading down the other side of the building towards the staffing areas, and I freeze when he stops in front of Dr. Smith's office.
Inside, please,
he gestures with his hand. Slowly, I step forward, walking inside. Dr. Smith is at his desk, and he has the nerve to smile warmly at me like this isn't his fucking fault.
Hi, Avery,
he greets kindly, motioning me to sit down. Begrudgingly, I take a seat, crossing my arms as I put my walls up. I'm not playing these games with him today. Mr. Whittingham stands in the corner, hands in the pockets of his expensive trousers.
Ms. White, you were involved in a serious incident today.
I know, I say sarcastically. Perhaps you both could care to explain why my personal information was allowed to be taken and distributed. I snap my gaze to Dr. Smith accusingly. He at least has the balls to look guilty and disappointed.
Miss White, we wholly apologize for that. but you were also seen leaving the main area of the facility with another student.
That's what you are focusing on. I scoff at Mr. Whittingham. And we are not students. We're patients. Don't bother to sugarcoat the details. Mr. Whittingham raises an eyebrow at me before glancing over at Dr. Smith.
Did you go out of bounds, Avery?
Did you leak my file? I shoot back. Did you give someone access to the printers? What other bullshit has been going on behind closed doors that leads you to violate patients here? I think the medical board should know about this.
Avery,
Dr. Smith chimes in.
We're going to be investigating the file issue. It shouldn't have happened, and we're looking into the culprit.
I let out a half laugh. Yeah, it shouldn't have happened. Lots of things shouldn't happen. I glare at him, letting him read between the lines. I should call him out right here and now in front of his boss, but I'm worried about Theo. I don't want to piss them off too much that it gets taken out on him. But I'll be dead before I admit to them where we went.
In light of things, we're not going to pursue the matter against you,
Mr. Whittingham says.
However, while we are unable to confirm you were downstairs with Mr. Ashwood, we have detained him.
I try to play it cool, keeping every emotion off my face, but my heart is racing. They caught Theo. I know he won't turn me in, but I can tell they are coaxing me to confess. I look forward to hearing about the investigation, I say coolly to Mr. Whittingham. Now, I'd like to speak to Dr. Smith about my mental health concerns. Please leave. God, I have some balls on me today. Who knew that having someone balls deep in you would make you grow your own? Mr. Whittingham looks pissed off, but he nods, giving Dr. Smith a knowing look before leaving. I have to laugh, as Dr. Smith almost looks relieved that I want to talk about my feelings, but I cut him off before he speaks. Listen here, I say, narrowing my eyes. I don't know what bullshit operation you're running here, but you set me up, and besides the whole fake key situation, my file still got stolen. So I don't know what your endgame is, but I want no part in it.
Avery, the key was to protect you. I had your file secure. The investigation is real. This is a serious matter.
I nod. It is a serious matter, I agree. Which is why you are going to make sure Theo doesn't take the fall for this. We all know he got me out of there, so I'll be damned if you fuckers punish him for your mistake. Dr. Smith raises his eyebrows in surprise, taken aback by my sudden change.
That's not something I can control, Avery.
Well, Whitface just said they can't confirm I was down there. Why is that? He pauses for a moment, contemplating his answer.
The cameras had gone offline today, so the Foundation can't place you there. But Mr. Ashwood was caught downstairs. However, there are several eyewitness reports that place you both heading towards the stairwell, as well as confirmation from the guards that all the rooms were checked before you were found. But because of the situation with your file, the facility doesn't want to incriminate you in this. It's a good thing, Avery.
No, I reply, standing up. It's not a good thing when innocent people get taken down trying to protect others. Maybe if you had done your damn job, you could have protected us like you were supposed to. Make sure he's safe, or else I'll bring this whole place down. I rip open the door, startling the guard on the other side. I walk past him, heading towards my room as he follows, watching me closely. When I get back to my room, I slam the door shut behind me before the guard can, flinging myself on the bed. I hope I didn't just send Theo to his grave.
Psst.
A voice whispers in my ear, rousing me from sleep. I must have dozed off at some point, too exhausted from everything. When I open my eyes, I'm met with stormy gray ones. Gray? I mutter sleepily, blinking slowly.
Yeah, it's me,
he confirms, lifting the blankets and sliding in beside me. I'm too exhausted to fight him, letting him wrap his arms around me. He brushes the hair from my face, watching me closely. What are you doing here? I ask quietly.
I needed to come check on you. Are you okay?
Suddenly, the memories of earlier come back to mind, and I'm wide awake. No, I say. I'm not okay.
I'll figure out what happened,
he promises, face darkening.
Damon and I are already looking into it.
I force myself to sit up, the blanket falling from both of us. Gray, I start with a serious tone. It's a bit suspicious that my file was taken at the same time Damon was trying to get access to the filing cabinet. How do I know it wasn't him? Gray looks at me surprised.
He wouldn't do that.
He wouldn't access private files? I shoot back sarcastically.
Well, yes, but he wouldn't distribute them.
Gray admits sheepishly.
This wasn't us, little killer.
I see red, shoving him back. Don't call me that. Gray has to stop himself from falling off the bed, immediately reaching for me as I try to move away.
Baby girl, stop.
He groans, grabbing me.
I didn't call you that because I thought you were a murderer when we met. I called you that because I knew you would be the death of me. But it's a sweet death. One that I welcome.
Well, now you know. You and everyone else know I killed my father. And you know why and how. I can't hide the shame on my face. The exposure of my weakness too much to bear. Gray cups my face with his hands, my eyes focusing on his chipped black nail polish.
Listen to me. You're just trying to escape. No one can blame you for that, but I promise you, no one will ever hurt you again. Not as long as I'm living and breathing. You'll never have to feel the need to escape like that again.
I feel like that now, I mutter quietly, hating myself for admitting it. Gray shakes his head.
They don't get your pain. Don't you dare let them. I'm going to make the fuckers pay.
I scrunch up my face, closing my eyes. I suddenly feel so guilty. I don't regret sleeping with Theo, not one little bit. But this guy right here, the one who has sucked me in, is going to hate me if he finds out. He's been so patient, so caring, and I've stabbed him in the back. Even now, he's here, trying to comfort me, not realizing I've been with someone else. I'm a fucking monster. Gray, I mumble, wondering if I should confess.
Shh.
He cuts me off with a kiss.
We can talk more later. Damon is waiting for us. He called an urgent meeting.
My heart sinks. I don't want to face Demon Boy. That's the last thing I need right now. He'll be able to see right through me, piecing everything together. Gray sees me through rose-colored glasses, but not Damon. Before I can argue, Gray pulls me up from the bed, passing me my shoes.
Come on, it won't take long. I even made sure there's some food for you.
Another dagger to the heart, my stomach clenching as he drags me from the room down the hallway. It's barely evening, the last ray of sunshine lining the walls. There's no one around, though, not even for showers, and I assume everyone is in isolation because of earlier. When we enter the library, I'm surprised to find there's only a few of us present tonight instead of the usual dozen.
Gray,
Damon says, greeting him. He looks at me, giving me a small nod.
Avery, come sit.
It's the most polite he's ever been, and I realize it's worse. I don't want his pity or his help. Gray ushers me to the table, directing me to the same seat as last time. Most are vacant, except for a few others like Byron and Jillian.
Right, we need to get to the bottom of this. It's a sensitive matter, so nothing leaves this room, not even to the other members.
I'm momentarily stunned, but Damon continues speaking.
Someone has gone behind our back and stolen personal files. It incriminates us and is also disrespectful to my position here.
Ah, of course. Everything is all about Damon. Jillian raises her hand slightly, drawing everyone's attention. Well, we took the cameras offline today, just in time, in fact. The facility isn't able to view the footage or access the feed at the moment, but we can. They are working with tech crews to try to get access again. But for the moment, we've locked them out.
Good.
Damon nods.
Do we have access to the past feeds?
What? She nods. We're using free time to review the footage. Nothing from today's short time since free time was cut short. But hopefully tomorrow we will be able to pinpoint who entered Smith's office. It takes all my willpower not to start hyperventilating. I'm not sure if it's from panic or relief, but at least we might have some answers.
How long will it take them to gain access again?
Gray asks. Damon shrugs.
Based on Arthur's stingy spending, it depends who he's hired. Jillian and Layton have been instructed to change the code and script regularly, so they have to continuously jump through new hoops to get in. It might take a few days at the minimum.
He's going to be so pissed.
Gray laughs.
That reminds me,
Damon says, turning to Jillian.
Can you check the feed from his office? I want a copy of him fucking Teddy, for entertainment purposes, of course.
Jillian nods with a smile. Sure thing, boss. Hold up, I say, copying a dirty glare from Demon Boy as I interrupt. What will happen when you figure out who stole my file? I should get some say in this. Damon leans back casually, crossing his arms.
And what exactly do you want to happen, Avery?
I shrug. I don't know yet, but I deserve the right to be involved. You can harp on about your reputation, but at the end of the day, it was mine that was tarnished.
Tarnished is a strong word. It was just the personal information leaked. It's not that big of a deal.
Excuse me, I reply angrily. It might not be a big deal for you, but for me, it was everything. Every single person here would be mad if it happened to them. I have the right to be upset, and I have the right to have a say in how this is dealt with. Damon looks me over, nodding slowly.
Fair point. I'll take your suggestions under advisement once we know more.
And another thing, I shoot at him. This wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you trying to get your nose into everyone's business. I accept you reign here, or whatever His Royal Highness wants to call himself, but I will not be collateral damage in your ventures. A smile cracks Demon Boy's face. It's sinister and maddening, but he lets out a dry laugh.
Gray, control your girlfriend, please. Now, let me know when you have the footage, Jillian. We'll stop there, but Gray organized some snacks, so help yourself before heading back to the rooms.
Chapter 25. Avery. I look for Theo the next day, and I'm disappointed when he's not at lunch. He's nowhere to be seen. Our tattoo room also empty during free time. My heart sinks as I worry about what's happened to him. He sacrificed himself for me, and there's nothing more I can do. Thankfully, Gray seems to be following me like a guard dog, staying close by during class and free time. I think he knows I'm looking for Theo, but he doesn't say anything, acting oblivious, which works for me. Everyone saw us leave together, so it should come as no surprise that I'm worried. It's not like it's a secret that Theo and I are friends. Are we friends, though? What do you even call this? I don't even know how to categorize whatever the thing I have with Gray is. By the following day, there's still no sighting of Theo, and I resign myself to the fact he's gone for a bit. Maybe he's been put in solitary confinement. I suppose that's the best case scenario. I refuse to imagine any other possibility. When free time comes, I grab Gray's hand after class, dragging him to the library.
Whoa, someone's eager.
Gray grins when I pull him into the aisle. I scoff playfully, doing my best to distract myself from the clusterfuck that's imploded. Don't get a fathead. I just need some normality while we wait for Demon Boy to sort out the footage.
Demon Boy?
Gray repeats, howling with laughter.
Oh, he'd love that.
I'm serious, I argue. He's a demon. I know he's your friend, but fuck me, he's frustrating. Gray grabs my hips, swinging me around until my back presses against the bookshelf.
I love seeing you all fired up. You've changed recently. It's like you're finally coming into your true self after being in the shadows.
You might have a little something to do with that, I whisper, my heart racing at our close proximity.
Oh, really? Do I make you feel things, baby girl?
I nod once, cheeks flushed. Maybe just a little. He pulls my hips forward, slamming them into his.
You make me feel lots of things, too.
He laughs, his erection emphasizing his point. Feeling way more adventurous than I should, I reach down, grabbing his cock through his pants. He growls, pushing my shoulders into the shelf gently.
Don't tease me, little killer. I could take you right here, right now.
Maybe I want you to, I coax, slipping my hand inside his pants to grab him skin to skin. He rests his head on my shoulder, little sounds of pleasure caught in his throat as I stroke him. I need a distraction from everything, and I think we've both waited long enough. He makes me feel safe, and fuck it, I want him. Take me, please, I whisper in his ear, letting out a yelp when he picks me up suddenly, hoisting me onto his waist. My back presses into the shelf behind me, corners of hardback books digging into my skin, but I can't feel it. All I can feel is the need to lose myself again. I felt so safe with Theo, in control, but at the same time, like I was spiraling away from reality. For a brief moment, he took away my pain and humiliation, and it was an escape. Now my mind is a danger, reminding me every second that Theo is missing and there's people here that are trying to hurt me. My worst secrets were spread out like a novelty, destroying me, and it's taking every inch of my willpower not to give in and let them win. Gray's hand slips under my skirt, cupping me as he teases me with his fingers. I grind my hips into his hand, desperate for more. I let out a small gasp when he grabs my underwear, ripping them clean from my body. He smiles deliciously at me as he shoves them into his pocket, like they are his own personal trophy. Pulling me forward slightly, he bunches the bottom of my shirt in his fist, lifting it up so he can remove it from my torso. As soon as it hits the floor with a soft thud, he yanks the cups of my bra down, my breasts spilling out.
"Fucking beautiful,"
he murmurs, grabbing one with his free hand while the other holds on to the shelf behind us. He lowers his mouth, encasing my nipple in his warm mouth as he pulls and teases the pink tip. Feeling like I should be doing more, I reach down, doing my best to push his waistband down to free him from the fabric constraints. His cock springs out, and I can barely reach it with my fingers, so I grab the tip, moving my thumb around curiously. Gray lets go of my breast, grabbing his cock from me to help stroke it. He pauses briefly to push two fingers inside of my pussy, pumping them in and out until I'm dripping down my thigh. He rubs my arousal over his cock, smashing his lips to mine as he lines up with my entrance. My hands instinctively grab the nearest objects for support, one on the bookshelf and the other on his shoulder, my nails digging in as I eagerly and silently beg him to take me. He thrusts up into me, the speed and force taking me by surprise. I cry out in pleasure, my forehead colliding with his as we heatedly kiss, the two of us joined together. There's nothing slow about him like I anticipated, his pace fast as he impales himself into me, my legs wrapping around his waist for support. Letting go of the bookshelf, I lunge for his shirt, tugging at it aggressively as I try to get as close to him as possible. He rips it from his body with one hand, barely faltering with his pace as I reach for his chest. My hands trail his toned body, nails digging into a tattoo down his right side. I can't focus on anything other than the black ink, my body spiraling with pleasure as he fucks me up against the shelf. Books fall onto the ground around us, pages opening up, revealing themselves like me. I want it all, and I never want him to stop. Wrapping my arms around his neck, he deepens the kiss, his tongue searching for mine as he snakes his arm around my back to hold me firm. I feel like I could fall at any second, but he keeps me upright, hips slamming into mine. I'm still falling, though, my climax tearing through me as I dive over the edge. I send curse words into Gray's mouth, legs shaky around him as I clinch him tight. He responds by thrusting into me harder, my back scraping against the shelf as I'm jolted around. Suddenly, I'm dropping for real, my feet hitting the ground as he lowers me, hand furiously stroking his cock.
"On your knees, little killer. It's your turn to taste me."
I'm relieved to do so, not trusting my legs to hold me up. He grabs my chin, tilting my head up to look at him as he brings the tip of his cock to my lips.
"Put your sweet lips around me,"
he guides, waiting for me to open up before he slides inside. Holding the back of my head with one hand, he grips the base of his cock, getting faster and faster, until he suddenly pauses, letting out a low groan. I feel his release pool in my mouth, my eyes locked on his as he empties himself into me. Pulling back, he tips my mouth closed by my chin with one finger, smiling at me.
"Swallow me, Avery."
Powerless to refuse, I do so, my eyebrows creasing at the unfamiliar taste. It's not horrible, though, and I suspect it's because it's him. Nothing could ever taint his perfection. Everything about him just screams to me. I've barely managed to catch my breath when the library door opens, my body sensing in panic. I'm still on my knees, shirtless. But before I can make a grab for my shirt, a familiar voice rings through the quiet room.
Gray,
Damon muses from the other side of the room.
I need you to come with me. Hurry up and finish fucking. I'm not feeling very patient today.
My eyes widen in alarm, but Gray just laughs, handing me my shirt.
Just give me a second, dead man. I'll meet you outside.
I hear a small, in return, before the door opens and closes again. Fuck, I whisper, scrambling for my shirt. How did he know?
Don't stress.
Gray winks.
He doesn't care.
I care, I grumble, pulling my shirt on and fixing up my clothes. I spring to my feet, but Gray stops me from heading down the aisle, wrapping his arms around me.
Well, I care about you,
he says, kissing my forehead.
And therefore, Damon indirectly cares too. Well, in that Damon kind of way.
He doesn't care about me, Gray. Let's not beat a dead horse. Gray smiles, leaning down to kiss me. I'm taken aback that he is willing to taste himself, but his tongue pushes into my mouth, reminding me he's anything but ordinary. He pulls back, holding my face in his hands.
People aren't what they seem. I think you know that. Sometimes people just have unique ways of showing they care. Anyway, I need to go see what's going on. Stay here if you like. I'll come find you when I'm done.
I nod, giving him the best smile I can muster before he turns and leaves the library. I manage to last about 5 minutes before I have to leave, too uncomfortable sitting here on my own now. I head outside the library, looking around to see if anyone turns up. Checking the rooms, I'm disappointed to find no sign of Theo again, and as I head past the doors to the courtyard, I stop. I've yet to set foot outside, but it's a nice day. A little cloudy, a warm breeze, and surprisingly not a huge amount of people out there. Deciding to brave it, I head onto the grass, taking a look around. I'm only a few yards from the door when someone comes charging up to me. Immediately, I back up against the wall from their presence, my body on guard.
You're not welcome out here,
Sam sneers at me, standing close. I was just coming to look, I say, uncomfortable with his close proximity. There's something different about him. Little beads of sweat roll down his temple, even though it's not hot enough for that. His skin is clammy and pale, and there's an edginess to him that's unnerving.
Keep away from us, you psycho killer!
He snaps, spitting at me. I recoil in disgust and start seeing red. I hate spitting with a passion. It's revolting and makes me feel dirty. Wiping the spit away from my arm, I straighten up. Don't you ever spit at me again. I haven't done anything to you. Just leave me alone. Sam laughs sarcastically.
Oh, really? You haven't done anything? Then why have I been targeted by your little boyfriends then, huh? Fuck, first Gray and then Theo. What's so special about you anyway? Do you have some magical fucking pussy?
There's something unhinged about him, even more than usual. He's clearly not thinking straight, and I know I need to de-escalate the situation and get out of here. You should go back to your friends. I'm going to go inside, I tell him gently, doing my best to calm everything. His eyes narrow, his hands slamming onto the wall next to my head, blocking me in.
I think you should stay right there. Maybe I should find out what makes you so fucking special.
Alarm bells ring inside my head, and I instantly go into flight or fight mode, ducking under his arm to sprint towards the door. I manage a few steps before he grabs my waist, pulling me back. Slamming me into the wall again, everything becomes hazy, and I just throw my hands carelessly, hoping to hit anything and everything. I think I manage to stab him with my nail below his eye, Sam yelling in pain before I spot his fist pulling back. I close my eyes, bracing myself when suddenly, he's ripped away from me. Gazing down at the rolling bodies on the ground, it takes me a few seconds to register what I'm seeing. Letting out a gasp, I reach for the second body, pulling him off Sam. Theo! I yell, yanking him back, before throwing myself onto him in relief.
Chapter 26. Damon. Gray bounces behind me, obviously buzzing from the post-nutting bliss. I shake my head, not willing to picture it in case I hurl my guts everywhere. We head into the Eastwood wing, pushing open Jillian's door. She's on the bed, cross-legged with a laptop perched in her lap. Byron is also here, looking over her shoulder as she types furiously at the keys. Gray managed to swipe the laptop from the old geezer. Even in this day and age, Markle refuses to use technology. All staff are provided with computer equipment, but he insists on handwriting everything about his patients, probably wanting to torture everyone with his ridiculous doctor scribble. Let's be realistic. His handwritten notes are probably harder to decipher than it would be to hack into an IT system. Speaking of IT systems, hacking is not a problem for my little harlequin. Jillian comes from a background of hackers, and considering she earned her place at Lilydale for cybercrimes, amongst other things, you'd think they would have been more prepared. "Do you have it ready?" I ask her, letting Gray close the door behind us. She looks up, nodding with a victorious smile.
"We found the footage of Dr. Smith's office. I bet you can guess who it is."
"Unlikely," I muse, holding my hand out for the laptop. "Every single person here is probably capable of doing it." Sitting on the bolted chair, I hit play, watching the feed. The timestamp is listed as 3 a.m, well after Gray tried the key in his office. Suddenly, a figure emerges through the dark, slapping a card on the access pad. I wait for the facial features to come into focus, my face dropping in irritation. "Fucking Capello," I mutter, eyes locking with Gray.
"Hallman's bitch. She's got some balls."
We review the footage, watching as Vivian enters Christopher's office, searching around his desk before her body freezes. She reaches for something on the floor before holding up a key happily.
"Wait. The key was there the whole time."
I glare at him. "Did you not search the office?"
"I didn't need to. I thought I had the key."
"That motherfucker," I spit out. "He played us. Either he set us up to take the fall or he deliberately left the key around to mock us." Byron frowns.
"He was adamant he wasn't going to give access. So why leave the key at all?"
"Now that's the real question," I murmur angrily, Vivian digging through the filing cabinet until she pries a singular file out with her greedy little hands. She locks the cabinet back up, putting the key where she found it before leaving the room. Looking to Jillian, I hand her the laptop. "Find out which printer she used, and also permanently delete the footage of Gray entering his office beforehand. Then, put that isolated footage of Capello back online for the tech crews to find."
"Are you going to pay her a visit?"
Byron asks. Gray looks at me, hopeful. I can see he's eagerly chomping at the bit to go deal with them, probably because he has his feelings all wrapped up inside pussy at the moment. It's annoying, but still something I can use to my advantage. "Soon," I answer, looking at Gray. "But for now, I need the rest of the information. I assume this ties into Hallman." Jillian nods.
"He's not in any of the footage, but the gossip mill in the facility has said they have some type of vendetta against the girl."
"Her name is Avery,"
Gray points out. Jillian stutters slightly, nodding again.
"Yeah, Avery. Sorry."
"Don't mind him. He was just balls deep inside of dear Avery, so he's a little protective." Byron and Jillian share a look while Gray backhands me in the shoulder. I ignore it, turning my attention to him. "Gray, can you go locate the current whereabouts of Capello and Hallman? Don't approach yet. Just come back and get me first." He nods, leaving the room eagerly like a guard dog being let out. When he's gone, I motion for the laptop again. "Can you pull up the footage from yesterday?"
"Which part?"
Jillian asks, typing away. "Isolate the hall prior to free time, then the corridors after. I believe Ashwood was downstairs, so any movements underground as well." She types ferociously, clicking keys and buttons before handing me the laptop.
"Done and done. It's all saved in a folder on the desktop."
"Perfect," I reply lazily, standing up at the laptop. "I'll return this soon. Let Gray know I'll be in my room."
"Wow."
Gray starts out, plopping himself on the doorframe.
"You're going to love this."
I glance up, raising my eyebrows. "Likewise. But you go first." He gives me a suspicious look, which immediately transforms into a grin.
"So they're currently in the courtyard, or they were. I just missed a fight, apparently."
"Fuck's sake," I grunt. "Arthur will make sure heads roll for another brawl." Gray sits on my desk, swinging his legs like a kid with exciting news. He's deliberately trying to make me impatient, taking his sweet-ass time. "Well?" I snap.
Apparently, Hallman was involved in a brawl with Ashwood.
That revelation is news to me. He's out of solitary confinement then, I remark. Gray nods.
According to my sources, he was being aggressive towards Avery. Ashwood attacked him.
I almost feel bad for Gray, despite the fact his little girlfriend is involved in another altercation, yet again. He thinks this is another opportunity for revenge, or at least the final nail in the coffin after the camera footage. She has a knack for finding trouble. Very talented, if you ask me.
She's talented in other ways, too.
Gray grins. Sighing, I pick up the laptop, handing it over to him. He takes it from me, looking at the screen.
More footage?
He asks. Just click on it and set the speed for 1.5, I direct, waving my hand. Gray places the laptop on his knees, clicking the screen. The audio is faint, but I've pretty much memorized it, so I know what's happening even without seeing the screen. I watch his facial expression when the door of the morgue opens, the two of them breaking inside, and when I hear the door to the mortuary storage chamber open, I close my eyes and wait. It's barely audible. But you'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to not recognize the unmistakable sounds of two people fucking. He says nothing as he watches, and I open my eyes, observing him when they finally exit the morgue. Gray barely moves for a few seconds after it finishes, clearly processing what he just watched. He slams the laptop closed, flinging it across the room onto the bed. Are you all right? I ask him, waiting for his reaction. I won't tell him I told you so. Not yet, anyway. He's a ticking fucking time bomb on the verge of exploding, and right now, I still need him. I can use this anger and frustration, but I need it to be on his terms. I need him to be in control. Otherwise, we're going to have a literal bloodbath on our hands. Fights are one thing, but murders... Arthur will do everything in his power to block me, to ensure I can't get control, and we can't have that.
I need to go for a walk.
Gray finally replies quietly. There's an eeriness to his tone which I can read easily. We're not committing homicide today, I tell him. I'm coming with you. He shrugs, ripping open the door forcefully.
Suit yourself.
Well, this is about to get interesting. If my calculations are correct, we only have about 20 minutes before the end of free time. It might seem like a short period, but no one knows what Gray is capable of. When he loses control, he's reckless, dangerous, probably one of the most deadly here. I need to be prepared to step in for his sake. Otherwise, I'll lose my friend for good. I'm not sure who he is searching for first as I linger behind, but he heads straight for the courtyard. There's a few people still hanging around, but Hallman and Ashwood are nowhere to be seen. However, another familiar face is here.
You.
Gray snarls, stalking over to the corner. The frightened girl backs up quickly against the wall, eyes widen.
I didn't do anything.
Gray's fist slams into the wall next to her head, chunks of brick dropping to the ground. She squeals, covering her face, but I know he won't hit her. Gray's pretty strict about not laying hands on a woman.
Where is your boyfriend?
He demands venomously. Vivian shakes her head rapidly.
The guards took him. I don't know.
He cuts off her words by grabbing her throat, pushing her head back into the brickwork. A few of her friends look for the guards in panic, but they don't draw attention to themselves. They know better than to interfere. There's no guards here presently, but no doubt it won't take long for them to be alerted. Gray knows this too, squeezing her neck in warning.
You broke into the office and took Avery's file. Why?
He loosens his grip slightly to let her speak, spit flying on his hand as she coughs and splutters.
We were mad. It was just meant to be a prank, a bit of revenge.
Oh, sweet, naive Vivian. Don't you realize what you set in motion? Not only did she hurt someone close to Gray, she drove Avery right into another man's arms because of her actions. This is why people need to realize actions have consequences. You can't always predict the damage that will occur, which is why every single move you make needs to be calculated, planned, know every possible ending. These daft fuckers get so caught up in their emotions, they don't see things clearly or think them through. And now it's backfired and they are going to pay.
I'm going to hunt your boyfriend down. And I'm going to make him pay. And when I'm finished with him, I'm coming back for you.
Gray shoves her to the ground, turning on his heel to exit the courtyard. Vivian looks up from the grass with teary eyes, silently begging me for help. I just smile sweetly at her, reminding her she's very much fucked. Following Gray, I wait as he checks the rooms usable for free time. He comes up empty, so I grab his shoulder, giving it a squeeze. You go wait in her room. I'll go find Hallman and Ashwood.
Chapter 27. Avery. Pacing my room anxiously, I'm a fucking mess. I finally laid eyes on Theo just to have him ripped away from me again seconds later. The guards had swooped in quickly, separating all three of us. They dragged me back to my room, shoving me inside while they dealt with the situation. So here I am, waiting for the fallout, waiting for news again. I assume Mr. Whittingham or even Dr. Smith will want to speak to me at any moment. Fuck, maybe they're going to kick me out. I seem to be the catalyst in all the drama. What if they kick Theo out? It would be my fault. Maybe I need to take the fall. Tell them it's all my fault. I'll tell them that I was with Theo downstairs and he was protecting me. I'll tell them he attacked Sam to save me. If I take the blame, they will have to punish me too. Perhaps I can save Theo entirely. If they need to kick anyone out of Lilydale, I'll volunteer. Surely there's other rehabilitation facilities out there. But you'll likely go to prison. The tiny voice of self-preservation chimes in, and I realize I don't care. I'd rather it be me than him. He doesn't deserve this. It's my fault he is caught up in it. And truthfully, I don't deserve him. He would be better off without me. Maybe harmony would be restored if I stopped being a thorn in everyone's side. My mind is going around in circles at a million miles per hour when I hear the access pad outside beep. I stop pacing, watching as the door opens. Gray, I say relieved, stepping towards him. He slams the door closed behind him, and instantly, I feel it, stopping in my tracks. The darkness. This is not the Gray I've come to know. At least, not the version he's shown me. He's cold, angry, glaring at me with such hatred that I've never seen before from him. He's always looked at me with such warmth and happiness. And now he's not. Oh my God, he knows. Gray? I ask warily, standing very still. What's going on? He steps towards me slowly, eyes narrow, and his hand catches my attention. It's curled in a fist, his knuckles bloodied and bruised. I always said Gray would never hurt me, not unless I gave him a reason to.
Avery,
he says coldly, walking around me. There's barely any room to do so, our arms brushing against each other as he circles me. I turn my head, following him, silently pleading with him. I don't speak, waiting for him to initiate conversation. I'm too afraid to make him even more mad, willing to do whatever it takes to make him happy again, make him forgive me. Gray stops in front of me, crossing his arms.
Anything you want to tell me?
I can tell by his tone he wants to hear me say the words, admit it to him, but I can't bring myself to do it. You know? I ask hesitantly. He tilts his head, playing coy.
And what do I know?
I swallow, trying to compose myself. Is this about Theo?
Ah, ding, ding, ding.
I know Gray well enough to know today's incident wouldn't have pissed him off. Hell, he'd probably welcome anyone who protects me. He didn't even say anything about me disappearing with Theo yesterday, or how we hang out sometimes. But judging by his expression, it's more than that. He feels betrayed. He feels hurt. And it's all because of me. I didn't plan on doing it, I confess quietly. It just happened. A lot happened, and I was spiraling, and he was there. It feels like a betrayal to Theo, to just casually disregard what we did. But he's not the one facing a dangerous predator right now. I am. And if life has taught me anything, it's about surviving. The amount of times I begged my father to stop, pleaded with him that I didn't mean to do something, it never mattered. But he never loved me. And the fucked up reality finally hits me. I've avoided it all this time, when it's been staring me right in the face. I had just refused to accept it, terrified of what it meant. I'm still scared, but maybe it will be okay. I love Gray. I fucking love him. And I'm hoping that means he might love me too.
I told you that you were mine. That I wanted you. I did everything right, Avery. I waited. I listened. And for what? You just gave it to him like it was nothing.
It's not like that, I argue, but he cuts me off.
What did he do to win you over? I told you to keep away from him and that he was bad news, but you can't help yourself.
I grab my arm defensively, the action not going unnoticed by Gray. His hand snaps out, grabbing my wrist and yanking it towards him. Stop, I beg, as he rips the bandage off, revealing the healing tattoo underneath. His stormy eyes trace the ink, dropping my arm.
He marked you.
He was doing me a favor, I murmur. I couldn't stand to look at the scars, and Damon made a comment about the bandage. It just upset me.
Leave Damon out of this,
Gray hisses, scaring me. I shut up, realizing there's very little I can do to save this situation. I'm losing him. No, I've already lost him. The Gray I know is gone, the real one standing before me. There's only one thing I can think to do that might help calm him down. I love you, I tell him, breaking down my walls to show him my sincerity. I love you, Gray. His demeanor cracks, eyebrows furrowing together as he stares at me in disbelief. Hope pools in my chest, and I take a step towards him, but immediately his face hardens again, stilling me.
I loved you, Avery. But not anymore.
Pain explodes through my chest at his words, tears I had held in finally breaking free. The door suddenly opens, and I'm mortified to find Damon standing there. He looks at me in disgust before softening his gaze at Gray.
Gray,
he says, nodding towards the door.
Time to go. I found Hallman.
My eyes widen and I lunge forward, grabbing Gray's hand. I grip it tight, fighting him when he tries to let go. Don't go, I beg. Please don't leave me.
Let me go, Avery.
He whispers angrily, yanking his hand free. Without a backwards glance, he turns, stalking out of the room. Damon waits for him to disappear into the hall, turning to me with a dark look.
I think this goes without saying, but your membership has been officially revoked. If you come near Gray again, I'll be happy to show you why he calls me Dead Man.
He slams the door closed, locking me in the room. I drop to my knees, my sobs shaking my body. This is why I don't let people in. Dr. Smith told me to do it, to stop being scared that people might leave me. But this is why. Gray has left me, and it's all my fault. I don't move from the floor, pushing myself backwards until my back is pressed against the wall. I wait and wait, but no one comes. Gray is gone. Hallman could be dead, and Theo could be in the back of a police escort vehicle on his way to prison.
Well, if this ain't your own fault, kiddo, always fucking things up.
My father's voice mocks me in my head, cursing at me while reminding me I'm not good enough. It was my own fault that Mom died, and I could have done more to save Paige. I drove Gray away and ruined Theo's life. I should have just died that night as planned. I would have been happier, free. It's nightfall when the door finally opens and I look up, finding Mr. Whittingham standing there with several guards.
Follow me.
He says angrily. But this time, guards enter my room, picking me up off the floor. They hold on to my arms, practically dragging me from the room as Mr. Whittingham walks down the corridor. I expect him to take me to Dr. Smith's office, or hell, even to a police vehicle. But instead, I'm dragged to the hall. I look around confused, noting that it's full with all of the other patients eating dinner.
Inside.
Mr. Whittingham directs, and I warily step inside. My eyes hone in on my usual seat, and I am shocked and relieved to find Theo at the table. Walking over, I sit down, watching as he eats his dinner quietly like old times. Did I enter a parallel universe or something? What the fuck is going on? Mr. Whittingham bangs on the hall doors, signaling for everyone's attention. The room falls silent as everyone looks over.
I have had enough of this garbage,
he says, looking at me for a brief moment.
After today, I won't be so forgiving. You should all be thankful for your opportunity to be here, and I won't hesitate to punish everyone if this happens again.
I watch on with confusion, noticing he locks eyes with someone. I follow the trail down the hall, my heart clenching when I spot Damon and Gray at the other end. Damon raises his fork to him, giving a solid smirk. Mr. Whittingham scoffs, turning and exiting the room, the guards lining up along the door. The chatter in the room returns, and I'm left even more baffled. Turning to Theo, I'm relieved to find him observing me. Are you okay? I ask quietly.
I'm perfectly fine,
he says.
Why?
I flap my hand in frustration. Because this whole situation is a mess. What happened earlier? Theo shrugs.
Guards took us to Whittingham's office, scolded us, and sent us back outside. I then engaged in extracurricular activities until the end of free time, and now it's dinner,
he says bluntly, like he's answering the world's most obvious question. I blink slowly. You weren't locked in your room for hours?
Were you?
He asks, narrowing his eyes. Nodding, I let out a frustrated sigh. I thought you were gone. Theo lets out a half laugh, but stops when he spots someone approaching me from behind. I tense up, looking behind me wildly for Gray. But I'm troubled to find Sam.
And what nice words do you have to say for yourself?
Theo says lazily to him. My eyes are stuck on Sam, too horrified to speak. He jolts, gazing at Theo fearfully before looking at me, hanging his head low.
I'm sorry, Avery. I was a dick and I shouldn't have approached you today. Please accept my apology.
His voice is so monotonous, rehearsed, that it's easy to piece together the situation. Well, amongst other things. Sam doesn't wait for me to respond, turning and disappearing back to his table. When the shock starts to wear off, I turn and face Theo, staring at him accusingly. What the fuck did you do? I hiss quietly, hands gripping the table. Theo smiles at me, not responding, a sly look on his face. He knows that I know. Everyone knows. Because while Sam might have apologized, it wasn't his lack of sincerity that rang alarm bells. It was the black ink on his face and the shape of Theo's fist that has been permanently engraved into his skin forever. Chapter 28. Avery. I have to admit, it's really enlightening not walking around with a bandage on. Even having a shower, it cut my washing time down immensely. No longer am I a prisoner to my scars, my pain. It might still be unfinished, but there's no point hiding it anymore. Everyone knows what happened, and now that the scars are partially covered with the tattoo, I can move forward. Gray ripping off the bandage did me a favor. Because while my walls are back up, I'm not going to let anyone see me hide now. If I'm going to survive Lilydale, I need to be strong. This is a chance for a fresh start, a do-over. I might have lost Gray and whatever stupid membership I had with Demon Boys Club, but I still have a shot at a life here. Charmaine hands out worksheets, instructing us to answer questions based on our recent lessons. I can barely focus, Gray sitting next to me. Every now and again, I dare to glance over, wondering if he's watching me like he used to. He's not. In fact, it's like I'm invisible to him. He's all happy, grinning at Charmaine, but it's as if I'm a ghost, watching from another dimension that he can't see. I don't know why, but it makes me angry. He said I was his, but truthfully, was I ever? What gives him the right to claim me? Well, that's what I'm telling myself. I'm trying to turn all my emotions off, focusing only on the anger. It's easier to handle, and I don't think it's fair to blame me entirely. I'm not a possession for someone to claim. He never stopped to actually ask me how I felt or what I wanted. And for once in my life, I had people who cared about me. Why should I have to give that up just because people told me to stay away from someone? I should be allowed to make my own decisions. Yeah, that's right. The bell rings, and against my better judgment, I look at him again, annoyed when he still ignores my presence. Smashing my worksheets together, I hastily pass them to Charmaine, chasing after Gray. He can sense me following because he picks up his pace, his long legs easily pushing the distance between us. However, when we reach the hall, I watch him enter the library, and my heart flutters with hope. So much for being angry, I guess. Taking a deep breath, I storm into the library, searching for him. He's not in the aisle. Instead, he's at the end of the open space, leaning against a table as he waits for me.
Avery, what do you want? I'm getting sick to death of you staring at me all day.
I walk over slowly, carefully choosing my words. Well, you did say I was going to be the death of you. His face twitches with a smile slightly before it falls again.
You did kill me, Avery. It just wasn't the sweet death I'd envisioned.
Sighing, I throw my hands up. What do you want from me, Gray? If I meant anything to you, then this shouldn't be an issue. We weren't together. I didn't cheat on you. I deserve to be liked and cared about. Why does it bother you so much? Gray raises a singular eyebrow, leaning back casually.
Because I was in love with you, Avery. You think you're the only person with issues? Sure, blame your mommy and daddy issues. But we're in Lilydale. We all have issues. At least own up to your shit. You know nothing about me.
But I want to, I argue. We can still be civil.
You just want peace and closure.
He points out with a laugh.
Because if you feel like things are better, you can sleep at night, justifying all your shitty reactions.
I stare at him, hurt by his words. So this is it then? We are over?
Over. You even said it yourself. We were never together. But for all your closure purposes, yes, Avery, we're done.
Despite my best efforts to turn it off, I still can't fight the agonizing feelings in my chest. I keep it together, though, nodding blankly. Okay, I mutter quietly. Can we at least be civil? I'll stay out of your way and you stay out of mine. Gray pushes off from the table, stalking towards me. He stops in front of me, looking down.
That sounds like the best idea. Best of luck, little killer.
He mutters quietly, letting his guard down. He leans down, kissing my forehead before walking out of the library. And immediately, I'm an emotional wreck. I shake as I try to stop the inside emotions from exploding out. Breathe in, breathe out, I tell myself, closing my eyes as I try to focus on something else. Surprisingly, it comes easy, because I hear a blood-curdling scream from outside. My feet move before my mind can register what's happening, and when I open the library doors, people are looking around in confusion. There's a small crowd at the entrance to the hall, and I find an open spot to look at what's got everyone's attention. Vivian is on the ground, screaming and crying hysterically. Several guards surround her, and someone yells at us to move aside. I'm pushed against the wall by the crowd, Mr. Whittingham appearing with Dr. Markle and Dr. Smith. The three men lean down to talk to Vivian, whispering quietly to her. We are all squished together awkwardly, and I resist the urge to recoil when someone accidentally touches my ass. Dr. Markle grabs Vivian's elbow gently, coaxing her from the floor before helping her walk past us. She doesn't seem to notice the crowd, too distraught. When they have disappeared out of sight, the crowd moves inside, going about their business. I find Siobhan standing near the corner and head over. What's going on? I ask her. She glances at me, probably wondering why I even give a shit. Her face is tense, and just when I think she's going to tell me to fuck off, she answers me. Sam killed himself this morning. Guards found him, and Vivian just got told. She mutters emotionlessly before walking away. What? Sam is dead? Clearly, there's no secrets in Lilydale because everyone is talking. As I hone in on conversations, little snippets reach my ears. Strangled with his sheets. Yeah, they reckon he necked himself, but fuck that. He was murdered for sure. Yeah, police are here investigating. I reckon he was killed. We all know who did it, too. I storm through people, weaving in and out as I try to find Theo. Relieved, I spot him at the other end of the hall, lurking in the corner. Sam is dead, I breathe out in a panic when I reach him. Theo nods.
Yep.
He's so blasé about the whole situation that it makes me feel uneasy. Suddenly, I find myself doubting everything. Theo even told me himself he killed someone and would do it again. Mr. Whittingham steps back into the hall at the other end, police by his side. I guess they are investigating it after all. I feel someone staring at me, burning holes into the side of my face, and I look over to my left, surprised to find Damon. He's hovering in the opposite corner, and when he realizes he's got my attention, he gives me a little smirk, tilting his head. It's barely registerable, disappearing as quickly as it comes, and I wonder if I imagined it. The police talk to Mr. Whittingham, their faces serious as they ask questions. Mr. Whittingham nods, looking around the hall. He lingers on Damon for a brief second, eyes narrowing before continuing on. When he reaches me and Theo, he pauses, facial expression hardening. What's going on? I mutter to Theo quietly, staring in horror as Mr. Whittingham points towards us. The police look in our direction before heading our way, patience scattering to make a path. Theo puts his hand on my back.
Don't say or do anything.
There's an edge to his voice that sets off alarm bells and feels like the room is going to start spinning at any point. It's like time stands still, the police taking forever to reach us, when in reality, it's less than a minute.
Step away!
The first policeman says to Theo, glaring at him. His wrinkly face and aging appearance highlights the fact he's been doing this shit way too long. I can see his hand positioned on his belt near his gun, ready to whip it out at any second. Theo steps forward away from me, hand rubbing along my back as he does. The policeman looks him up and down briefly before turning to me.
Are you Avery White?
I stutter, looking at Theo. Yeah, I answer, trying to figure out what's going on. I focus on his badge, reading his name, Constable Lennon. The second policeman steps forward towards Theo, pushing him further away from me into the wall. It takes everything in my willpower not to yell at them to get away from him, but I keep quiet, just like he said. Everyone is watching us quietly, my eyes finding graze as he approaches Damon. He's staring back at me coldly, his walls back up. I swallow, forcing myself to look away and back to Theo. Constable Lennon reaches to the other side of his belt, grabbing metal handcuffs. My heart sinks as reality sets in, my worst nightmare coming true. Theo did kill Sam. As he steps forward with the cuffs, I move towards Theo before I can stop myself, wanting to protect him. Constable Lennon grabs me, slamming me into the wall. I let out a whine from the impact, hearing Theo yell out as well. There's so much happening, but it's almost like I hear Gray's voice from across the room too. But I disregard the thoughts, letting myself go limp as I'm pressed chest first into the wall. Suddenly, my arms are pulled back, my shoulders yelling in pain as they are forced unnaturally to flex. I let out a small cry, hoping they realize they are hurting me, and I'm not going to physically attack them. I feel him pat me down, something scraping against my shirt as he grabs it. I turn my head to look over my shoulder, gazing in stunned disbelief at the staff access card in Constable Lennon's hand. I feel the cold metal on my wrists, the clicking sound reaching my ears as my hands are cuffed. Constable Lennon presses his knee into the back of mine as he tightens the handcuffs.
Avery Elizabeth White, you are under arrest for the murder of Samuel Joseph Hallman. You have the right to remain silent.
Thank you for listening to Unhinged, written by Steph Macca, performed by Marie Hawkins, Joe Arden, Corvin King, and Anthony Palmini. Produced by Blue Nose. Production coordination by Olivia Grace. Engineering by Mark Kitchen. Proofing by Josie Kurz. Follow Steph on Facebook, on Instagram, and TikTok at author Steph Macca, or go to stephmacca.com to find out more and stay informed about upcoming titles. Production copyright 2025 by Blue Nose Publishing. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.